Test, test.
Blog Talk Radio.
Kane is in the building.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
I'm always wondering what the founders, what they thinking. Where's our Washingtons, our Thomasins, our Jeffersons and Lincolns? Why you had the red carpet club partying and drinking the USS Liberty instead of these thinking. So let me tell you what's really going on. Hope and change is code for your liberty's gone. Yes, we can. Propaganda for a socialist song. You need to realize he's breaking America's bond. It's planned all along, and you need to realize that winning the future is just a future full of lies. He's wearing a disguise, let it drill in the gulf. Because behind the sheep's clothing, we know that you're just a woke. Alright.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
The heart of a coward caught in foreign policy forgets we are endowed by your creator. No apology, rule more like a king. When we were just some colonies, the patriots are marching, creating the greatest following, especially with the president like Barack Hussein, who proved he'd rather be playing a golf game than take care of the lame, the sick and heavy laden. Instead of helping Libya, he just spit on the nation. But what can you expect from a FDR clone with no guts? You lost our trust, you ain't got a backbone. Chicago is your home, it shouldn't be DC. We the people speaking up, tell me can you hear? We alright.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
If Barack is soon to set sail, vote for O is just hope and fail. I'd rather have a tax break in any light rail. A POTUS you can stick to with word from his campaign trail. His issue with integrity, it's just very evident. Guantanamo being only one piece of the evidence. Flip-flops to D.C. would be a nice sentiment. Come this election, I hope we change the president, alright.
All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright. All over the world, Obama keeps bringing that liberal drama. Failed policy after failed policy. God save the republic, we're not a democracy, alright.
Alright. Yeah. It's me. Oh, boy. I tell you what. Oh, my God. We got a lot of background noise here. Okay, there we go. Got rid of that. Hey, listen. Today's date is July 20th, 2011. Washington, D.C., the planet Earth. Third planet from the sun. Oh, man. Let's talk about it. Tonight we're going to mix in a little Obama administration bashing with some real serious stuff. It's called wealth redistribution. That's right, boys and girls, moms and dads. George Soros has spent billions. George Soros has spent, to this date, $5 billion in order to destroy America. In an effort to remake America, to be fair, Soros' foundation network whose flagship is the Open Society Institute, or OSI, has dispensed more than $5 billion to a multitude of organizations whose objectives are consistent with those of Soros, with assets of $1.93 billion as of 2008. OSI alone donates Soros millions of dollars annually to these various groups. Following the following actually I had some technical issues hearing the show. There was a lot of jumping around with the audio, and I assumed Southern that it was my computer, so I just rebooted the Alienware desktop here, and then it settled down, so I was good. I'm sorry that I missed that. Southern Sense writing that she did a promo for my show, and I really do appreciate that. Thank you, Southern. You're a sweet potato. All right. So we have George Soros, who seeks to establish in the United States open borders and an open government, a government that doesn't so much rely on that pesky little document called the Constitution of the United States of America. And George Soros is spreading his money around in order to see that open society comes about. Now, these are the demons of the United States of America. Yes, a sweet potato. I got that. I took that line from one of my favorite movies that was about an area where Southern Annie is currently living, South Carolina. It's a movie called Shag, or Shag the Movie. And we're not talking about shagging a la Austin Powers. We're talking about a dance that was very popular in the late 50s, early 60s. And it was very popular at a place called the Pavilion in South Carolina, Myrtle Beach. The Pavilion has now since been torn down. I got a chance to shag at the Pavilion in South Carolina, in Myrtle Beach, before it was closed and subsequently torn down. It was a big thing. Think of a 1960s-style Busch Gardens mixed with a whole lot of other fun stuff. Lots of shagging, lots of dancing going on. And in the movie, they use the word sweet potato a lot to say that somebody's a sweetheart, you know, or a darling, or a sweetie. And so I took that from the movie Shag the Movie, starring Phoebe Cates and a host of other folks, including Tyrone Power Jr. Not as handsome as his daddy, but good-looking enough for that movie. Haven't seen him in anything else since then. If you are a fan of those folks, then check out Shag the Movie. I know, nice to be able to break out my show to do a nice plug and explain the word, the term of endearment, sweet potato. All right, back on track. There are men of vision who rise to heights of power and fame as they strive to realize their own destinies. George Soros has a vision for the world and the United States of an open society with open borders and a system of wealth redistribution. He wants to achieve this vision through his disciple, Barack Hussein Obama. George Soros has visited the White House no less than 10 times. That's exactly right. Yeah, I love shagging in South Carolina, in Myrtle Beach. All right. Now that we've gotten that bit of a double entendre out of the way, shagging and, yeah, okay, all right. George bases his vision on a primary premise of a global objective. A one-world government. Is he the Antichrist? We'll get to that later. Remember my, if you care to go back late last year, around December, November, January, when I spoke about the Antichrist and is Barack Obama the Antichrist? Is George Soros the Antichrist? Think about this. Because what I'm telling you right now, the information that I'm putting out right now is in George Soros' own words. So as I said to a friend earlier today, my show is not so much about my opinions as it is about facts. And every now and then I'll sprinkle in my opinion. But most of the time I'm laying out the fundamental basis of my history, of history itself. People, places, dates, and sometimes things. A-E-I-O-U and sometimes Y. Okay? So let's just get that out of the way. This is Soros' actual way of thinking. Not my opinion. When I tell you about George Soros right here and now, I'm telling you how he actually thinks and what he believes, and not my opinion of what he thinks and what he believes. So let's continue. George bases his vision on a primary premise of a global objective. And that objective is a one-world government. He refers to his concept of world government as an open society philosophy. Richard writes in the chat room, that's not fair. Robin Hood took from a corrupt dictator who presupposed himself to represent the righteous leadership who Robin Hood was in fact supporting honorably. Exactly. I agree with Richard. So now let's get on with George here. Georgie. Now, this open society, of course, requires an omnipotent godlike billionaire for it to because it's a billionaire system based loosely around a benevolent billionaire who's in charge of everything and knows what is best for the world. George is eminently qualified to be that person, or so he thinks. In his own mind, he believes he is qualified to be the benevolent leader of the world, and he is willing to spend whatever it takes to see that his vision comes to fruition before he checks out. And if you've seen George Soros in print or in video, he's damn close to leaving this earth just based on appearances. He's 800 years old, and he looks to be at death's door. And the sooner he crosses that threshold, the better it will be for all mankind. There's no doubt about that. And perhaps you'll agree with me, because I just spouted my opinion. Now let's go back to the facts. George Soros has the money and has considered himself a god for a long time. He has started implementing his plan by supporting a myriad of anti-American organizations. And through his charismatic student and sycophant, Barack Obama. Now, Barack Obama and George Soros are intertwined. George Soros has met with Barack Obama no less than 10 times at the White House. That is a fact. Even more than Andy Stern, formerly of the union leader. Now, one of the initial requirements for an open society is open borders. And he explains the reason for open borders in a February 1997 Atlantic Monthly, in an article called the capitalist threat. And here's the quote. Societies derive their cohesion from shared values, religion, history, and tradition. When a society does not have boundaries, where are the shared values to be found? The concept of the open society itself. Yes, George looks like a dying frog. No, the frog is prettier than George Soros. How about a dying toad? All right, so in the article, Soros further expounded on his social and economic theory in three main parts, and we're going to go over all three. Because really, this is very important, because George Soros, except for my main man Glenn Beck, George Soros has flown under the radar with his destructive agenda and vision for not only America, but the whole world. He's flown under the radar. A lot of people don't even know who he is. And yet, he openly espouses and prays for and works toward the destruction of America's economic system. So let's do the damn thing right here and now. Economic stability. Economic theory has managed to create an artificial world in which the participants' preferences and the opportunities confronting participants are independent of each other. And I have no idea what the hell that meant, what that means. If you do, you're a very smart person. The prices tend toward an equilibrium that brings the two forces into balance. But in financial markets, prices are not merely the passive reflection of independently given demand and supply. They also play an active role in shaping those preferences and opportunities. This reflective interaction renders financial markets inherently unstable. Laissez-faire ideology denies the instability and opposes any form of government intervention aimed at preserving stability. History has shown that financial markets do break down, causing economic depression and social unrest. The breakdowns have led to the evolution of central banking and other forms of regulation. Laissez-faire ideologies like to argue that the breakdowns were caused by faulty regulations, not by unstable markets. There is some validity to their argument, because if our understanding is inherently imperfect, regulations are bound to be defective. But their arguments ring hollow because it fails to explain why the regulations were imposed in the first place. So here we have George Soros, who is suggesting that man is inherently flawed. Imagine that. He's suggesting that we mere mortals are flawed individuals, and at some point our thinking is bound to be flawed. And as a result of our flawed thinking, we're bound to make mistakes in terms of financial markets, and depressions and recessions will occur as a result of our faulty thinking. So he wants to come along with all his billions and change all of that, and thus bestow wisdom upon America and, yea, the world, and solve all our problems. Isn't that sweet? I mean, don't we appreciate the fact that George Soros wants to come along and solve all our problems for us by throwing out the Constitution, dismantling our borders and our government, and installing a one world, one dictator order? Does this sound like something from Revelations? It does, doesn't it? You see, when your humble host here, Dr. C. Robert Jones, conducts a blog talk radio show, a radio show here, it's all relevant. Remember Ayn Rand and what happened in 57 coming into play at what's happening today, right here and right now. 1957, it's all happening today. Think about this. The Bible, Revelations, speaks to exactly what George Soros, whom, to my knowledge, wasn't born during biblical times, he seeks to establish what is spoken to in John and Revelations. So he wants to bring the whole Bible thing to life, only the whole Revelations thing and the book of John to life, to real life, establishing no borders in a one-world government. I guess Georgie thinks that he can beat the whole God coming back and setting things right thing, because that's part of the biblical prophecy too. So one could reasonably argue that George Soros is setting biblical prophecy in motion. Reasonably. Now let's take a listen to my man Milton Friedman. You gotta love this guy. And then we'll tie in how Milton Friedman, George Soros, one world order, open government, open borders, no constitution, one world dictator comes into play, because Milton's going to lay it down for you right here. And I thought he was going to do it right now.
When you see around the globe the maldistribution of wealth, the desperate plight of millions of people in underdeveloped countries, when you see so few haves and so many have-nots, when you see the greed and the concentration of power within, did you ever have a moment of doubt about capitalism and whether greed's a good idea to run on?
Well, first of all, tell me, is there some society you know that doesn't run on greed? You think Russia doesn't run on greed? You think China doesn't run on greed? What is greed? Of course, none of us are greedy. It's only the other fellow who's greedy. The world runs on individuals pursuing their separate interests. The great achievements of civilization have not come from government bureaus. Einstein didn't construct his theory under order from a bureaucrat. Henry Ford didn't revolutionize the automobile industry that way. In the only cases in which the masses have escaped from the kind of grinding poverty you're talking about, the only cases in recorded history are where they have had capitalism and largely free trade. If you want to know where the masses are worst off, it's exactly in the kinds of societies that depart from that. So that the record of history is absolutely crystal clear that there is no alternative way so far discovered of improving the lot of the ordinary people that can hold a candle to the productive activities that are unleashed by a free enterprise system.
But it seems to reward not virtue as much as ability to manipulate the system.
And what does reward virtue? You think the communist commissar rewards virtue? You think a Hitler rewards virtue? You think, excuse me, if you'll pardon me, do you think American presidents reward virtue? Do they choose their appointees on the basis of the virtue of the people appointed or on the basis of their political clout? Is it really true that political self-interest is nobler somehow than economic self-interest? You know, I think you're taking a lot of things for granted. And just tell me where in the world you find these angels who are going to organize society for us. Well, I don't even trust you to do that.
Exactly. Now, Milton laid it down, didn't he? There's this idea that people like Obama and Soros and the like, who espouse these lofty goals and ideas for America, are pure at heart. That their motives are pure and clear, that there is no personal agenda. Well, That's just dead wrong, isn't it? The deal here is a simple one. And I think Friedman laid it out. And I don't think I can expand on it any more than that. I don't think I should. I don't think I should have to. Because she put it out there. I mean, he did. I'm sorry. Milton put it out there. And he laid it down just right. Richard writes in the chat room, George Soros is nothing more than a press secretary for David Rockefeller. Well, he's a little more than that, Richard. He is also the puppet master and the man who has bankrolled Barack Obama's campaign and presidency since 2004, when Barack Obama ran for the Senate. Now let's take a look at Open Society for a moment, if we must, and we must. The Open Society Institute is the cornerstone for Soros' foundation network. It's a group of Soros-funded organizations that are located in more than 50 countries, which promote open society concepts by influencing governmental policies. Now, some of you may have heard in the news lately that George Soros is bankrolling state Senate races across the country. State Senate races, legislature races. He's bankrolling those behind the scenes because he's trying to get things going in his direction at a grassroots ground level. Because the type of change that he wants to affect starts from the bottom up, not from the top down, i.e. his minion Barack Obama. The way to influence elections in his favor is to start from the bottom, to start from the neighborhoods, i.e. community organizing. To start from the city level, the county level, and work your way up. And that's Soros' tact right now. He has been exposed. He's been exposed because he doesn't want to hide. This is what Soros is doing, folks, is not a conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy theory. And what I'm talking about right now is not conspiracy theory talk. George Soros has made no secret, none, mind you, of what his plans are and what his intentions are. And when I speak to you about George Soros, I'm speaking fact, not my opinion. I'll let you know, and you'll know when I'm speaking my opinion about this clown, like right now. So let's get back to some facts. Shall we? The call-in number is 347-884-8500. In 1979, the Open Society Institute was formulated by Soros as the nucleus of a group of Soros foundations that fund a network of individuals and organizations with tens of millions of dollars if they share the founders' views and agenda. And I'm going to lay down for you right now a summary of what that agenda is. It will chill you to the bone. I guarantee it. First, promoting the view that America is institutionally an oppressive nation. Promoting the election of leftist political candidates throughout the United States. Opposing virtually all post-9/11 national security measures enacted by U.S. government, by the U.S. government, particularly the Patriot Act, depicting American military actions as unjust, unwarranted, and immoral, promoting open borders, mass immigration, and a watering down of current immigration laws. More, promoting a dramatic expansion of social welfare programs founded by ever-escalating taxes, or funded, rather. Does any of this sound familiar? Yeah, let's go further, shall we? Now, I'd like to make sure that it's understood that the information that I'm relaying to you right now comes from Soros' own crusty lips. Not my opinion, not my fact, these are just facts. You can find this information anywhere on the net, in print, in news articles, anywhere. You can find this information on YouTube while Soros is being interviewed. He says it all. This is not a conspiracy theory, once again. These are facts. Soros' agenda has been laid bare and laid out for you and me because he believes that he will succeed and that it cannot be stopped. Let's finish it off, and then we're going to take a call from my good friend David. Promoting open borders, mass immigration, and a watering down of current immigration laws. Modern day stuff, is it happening? Think about it. Promoting a dramatic expansion of social welfare programs funded by ever-escalating taxes. Promoting social welfare benefits and amnesty for illegal aliens. Defending the civil rights and liberties of suspected anti-American terrorists and their abettors. Financing the recruitment and training of future activist leaders of the political left. Advocating America's unilateral disarmament and or a steep reduction in its military spending. Opposing the death penalty in all circumstances. Promoting socialized medicine in the United States. Promoting the tenets of radical environmentalism, whose ultimate goal, as writer Michael Berliner has explained, is not clean air and clean water, but rather the demolition of technological industrial civilization. Bringing American foreign policy under the control of the United Nations. Promoting radical and ethnic preferences in academia and the business world alike. Promoting taxpayer-funded abortion on demand. Advocating stricter gun control measures. Advocating the legalization of marijuana. Now listen, ask yourselves, is this all happening? And once you answer yourself, ask yourself this question. Or rather, put this together. President Obama's campaign was funded greatly by George Soros' organizations. George Soros, as I stated earlier, has met at the White House no less than 10 times. President Obama is attempting to push through every single one of the Open Society Institute's, I don't know what to say, demands or actions that they'd like to see happening? Is Obama promoting the view that America is an institutional and oppressive nation? Well, his apology tours speak to that, do they not? His bowing down before dictators and potentates. Promoting the election of leftist political candidates throughout the United States. Well, we see that going down every single day. Am I right? Promoting open borders, mass immigration, and the watering down of current immigration laws. Obama, Soros, you feel my pain? Let's go ahead and take a call from my main man, David Graham, author of the book Stay Mad, and I'm damn mad reading this right here now.
Yes, sir.
David, you're on with the C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report. The call-in number is 347-884-8500. Talk about it, Dave.
No, it's you're absolutely right. It's chilling, you know. And when I was that's how my book got the title, you know. Seeing all this stuff that's happening, George Soros, I've been on here. I've talked about the communist goals, you know. And you see the stuff happening, and you know it's written there. It's you know it's available if you look for it and find it, and. The good news is, Doc, is what's seen cannot be unseen. So now you know when you realize these things, you start to see things through the lens of what they're intended to do. You know, I got a quote I put in my book from George Soros, where he says he's talking about a global economy. He says, to stabilize and regulate a truly global economy, we need some global system of political decision making. In short, we need a global society to support our global economy.
He sounds like a deranged Henry Kissinger.
Spooky dude.
Yeah.
So, all right, a global society does not mean a global state. To abolish the existence of states is neither feasible nor desirable, but insofar as there are collective interests that transcend state boundaries, the sovereignty of states must be subordinated to international law and international institutions. And then he says, interestingly, the greatest opposition to this idea is coming from the United States. And I say, hell yeah.
Yeah. I tell you what, the irony here and the interesting part of all of this for me is twofold. The biblical references are astounding. One world government.
Mm-hmm.
Open borders, no borders. One world leader. A benevolent dictator who assumes the position based on his idea that he knows what's best for not just the United States of America, but for the world.
Mm-hmm.
More, and secondly, that every single thing, every single proposition, every single wish, this is the Open Society, George Soros wish list.
Right.
That I just read, is happening.
Yeah, it's being implemented.
It's being implemented piece by piece, day by day. It's already happening. These people are already entrenched. We are coming late to the game. You know, my main man, I got to call him out again, Glenn Beck, had a meeting, a lunch meeting with one of Soros's yes men.
Mm-hmm.
And Glenn said to the guy, you know, this open society idea, all these ideas that George Soros has planned, they're not going to fly. I'm paraphrasing what Glenn said. And I'm not paraphrasing what the response was. The guy said in his best Hungarian Soros-type voice, that ship is already sailed.
Yeah.
And now we see it. The ship indeed has already sailed. But here's the thing. We're going to have to intercept that ship like the Bismarck and sink it. We're going to have to do that.
I'm working on an idea and a thought and a concept here. Now, if the entities supporting the left's agenda had any substance, you know, in other words, if they had the number of people behind them that were believed to be behind it, wouldn't we be there by now? Because pulling to the left, and I put there in quotes, wouldn't we be, quote unquote, there by now? But pulling to the left, you have like all the media, the entertainment, movies, pop music, union, you have unions, you have Ivy League academia, you have just under half of the House, you have just over half of the Senate, you got the entire executive branch, which has exploded exponentially, you have, I would say, exactly half of the Supreme Court, and thousands of foundations that are funded by the zillionaire globalists, you know, who just want the power. You know, pulling the other way is one TV channel, talk radio, and probably half the internet, and all the rest is the American people. If I'm just saying, if you had all that weight pulling it in the left's direction, and there were people behind it, we would be in a socialist utopia by now.
You know,
and
what
I'm
David?
It doesn't have the weight. It doesn't have the meat behind it. It's all fluff. So
here's my take on that. My opinion. I'm gonna talk about my opinion right now, not the facts. My opinion is that the reason why Soros hasn't been able to fulfill his vision or enact his vision for the United States of America yet, with all the resources he has behind him, is because the majority of Americans are hardwired for freedom.
Right.
We're hardwired to do what we want, when we want, how we want. We're not sheep. Thing is, people like Barack Obama, George Soros, Harry Reid, these liberals believe that Americans are sheep and that we're easily led. And all you have to do is say the lie enough times and we'll believe it and we'll follow.
Well, and it does work on most of them, doesn't it? Or some
it works. It works on liberals because liberals want to believe. Liberals want nothing more than to be led. They want to believe. Real Americans, all real Americans want freedom. All real Americans want freedom. We want, as Americans, and I think I can speak for most of us, we don't want to be told what to do, when to do it, and how to do it by anybody. Hell, it was against my morals. It was against my every fiber of my DNA to do it in the Marine Corps for 30 years. So we want freedom. And this is where Soros has made his misstep, because it's not going to be as easy. And I don't think he believes it's going to be easy to remake the world. First of all, men are inherently evil. And we are going to always want what somebody else has. Not me and you personally, but men in general. We're not going to want to be led by one dictator. There's always going to be somebody with an ego the size of George Soros who's going to want to say, you know what, you think you can be the leader? No, I can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always, you know, his plan is not going to work. First of all, he's going to check out before it does, before it even gets close to that point. I mean, not even he can live forever. But Americans won't tolerate it.
Well, I think the internet has saved us, because that's the only way we really know about it at this point. You know, because they have to network their ideas and their foundations, and they have to, you know, they have to attract followers, and they have to put the stuff out there, and it's out there for us to see and find, which, you know, which we both have done, and and if that's only because we were looking for it, you know what I'm saying? People, you know, most of the people, and you know, that was the target audience of my book, are people who watch TV news and go to bed. You're not going to get it. You're not going to get it there. You know, I mean, Fox News, you know, is going to be the closest one, but Beck was the only one on Fox that was talking about Soros. I think. I mean, does O'Reilly talk about him? Maybe once in a while, but
no, I don't think O'Reilly mentions him much at all. I've never heard him mention Soros. Let me give you another quote from Soros, and give me an idea of what you think about it. Soros wrote, or said rather, most of the stuff he just comes right out and says.
Yeah.
The Declaration of it, but he wrote this. The Declaration of, and I quote, "The Declaration of Independence may be taken as a pretty good approximation of the principles of an open society. But instead of claiming those principles are self-evident, we ought to say that they are consistent with our fallibility," end quote.
Can you read, can you just read that again? Because sometimes, I mean, you know, they speak in riddles, and you have to well, follow it. It's kind of like a string of, I know that you know that I know that you know.
Yeah.
Say that again.
The quote, and I quote, "The Declaration of Independence may be taken as a pretty good approximation of the principles of an open society. But instead of claiming those principles are self-evident, we ought to say that they are consistent with our fallibility." In other words, he's saying that the Constitution of the United States comes close to suggesting an open society, in that we have an elective government, we have an elective people. The government is elected by us. The people are responsible. The people are the true power. Because what Soros wants is people doing whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want to do it. Basic anarchy. But he wants to sit atop that pyramid of anarchy and pull the strings where necessary. So basically what he's saying is that the people have control in the Constitution, but they don't use that power to do what they want when they want. There are boundaries, and he believes that those boundaries should not exist. I'll give you one more. He adds that the open society concept is highly sophisticated and much more difficult to work with than the more primitive beliefs such as my country, my company, my family, right or wrong. So in other words, my country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, is primitive. My family is primitive. You know, the concepts are primitive, and we need to raise our consciousness and aspirations higher to expand on that. Because here's the thing. The reason why the United States of America is suffering the way we are is that there is a fundamental breakdown of the family structure that has a ripple effect on everything we do in society. God is being cast aside or marginalized. The family, the nuclear family unit, is being marginalized and even mocked in favor of single motherhood and such, to the point where our whole concept of what America really should be all about is being eroded to the point where we've been weakened as a country because we don't have those that the foundation. Once the foundation of this great nation, which is God, country, family, has been eroded, then people like Soros can come along and say, I've got something better. What you had obviously didn't work, and I've got something better, and here it is.
We hold these truths to show our fallibility, so leave it to me, and I'll make sure that you're taken care of.
Exactly.
Okay, I got it now.
So that's what we've got going on here. So, it's fairly easy to visualize the President of the United States as a follower of Soros, as are most of the liberal bottom feeders, in my opinion, that exist solely because of his money. You know, the lure of being a ruling elite is the epitome of the pathetic personality that craves power and control, and Milton Friedman laid that out.
I love that clip.
Yeah, he put it down, and what he's saying is, well, we know what he said. I don't have to explain to you what Friedman was trying to say here. He said it for all the world to see and hear. And Soros is seeking to take advantage of a weakened country, a wounded country, if you will, the United States of America. We are wounded politically, economically, religiously. The nuclear family is being steadily eroded. You know, boy, girl, mom, dad, children born when there's two family members in the household, mom and dad, like me. I know not everybody's fortunate to have both parents in the household all the way through to adulthood and beyond. But to suggest that it's okay and acceptable and even desired to have just a mom, or just a dad, or maybe two dads, or maybe two moms, or maybe one dad and two moms, or, you know, and on, is to erode the basic family structure. That's one prong of the attack, of a three-prong attack. God. Banish God, and what do we have? Just the government to rely on. The government will become our God. And then there's the economy. Once the economy fails to an extent where we have civil unrest, the government jumps in and says, we'll take care of this. I'll take care of you. Rely on me. Any thoughts, David?
No, I mean, I take it to the through the lens of those communist goals, and a lot of that is exactly what you said. You know, there's a lot of it dealing with doing away with the family, encouraging homosexuality, encourage promiscuity. I'm just looking. I had a thing right in front of me, and I bumped my mouse. Oh, here it is. There's a quote from Joseph Stalin when he said, America is like a healthy body, and its resistance is threefold: her patriotism, her morality, and her spiritual life. If we undermine these three areas, America will collapse from within. Heard that from another BTR host. It's like, wow, I got to write that down.
Yeah. I tell you what, I think that Soros and Obama have exposed themselves to the extent that we're preparing for what their agenda is. Now, mind you, for those of you who came in late, Soros and Obama have visited together at the White House no less than 10 times. This is part of the official record. Now, if Soros believes, now imagine this. Hey, Southern says hello, David.
Hey, Southern. Hey, Annie.
All right. Imagine this. Ronald Reagan, president of the United States, 1980, 1982, 1983. George Soros asked for an audience at the White House to speak with Ronald Reagan about an open society and open borders. I think that Reagan would invite him to the White House just so he could put a boot in his ass.
And that kick would be his, so and awesome.
And boot his ass right out of the White House and have him escorted off the premises in cuffs and leg irons. But Barack Obama invites him in. Come on in. Yeah. Open society, open borders. I dig it. I dig it all.
Yeah, but that's not the first he's met with him.
No, not at all.
I mean, Hillary was good buddies with him too. I mean, he's in with all the high mucky mucks and the progressive, quote unquote progressive,
yeah,
/ communist movement.
Oh, no doubt about it. I think about that sometimes. I think about how because folks have been talking about how. What Reagan would do with this debt crisis, and that Reagan raised the debt limit 18 times and on and on and on. So now I'm thinking, what would occur if Soros, Andy Stern, and all these clowns asked for an audience with Ronald Reagan at the White House? I can't imagine them getting past the front gate. Not at all.
See, the difference is, you know, as far as the debt limit being raised and who's raising it, it's being raised now for Keynesian purposes, which mm-hmm. Ronald Reagan did not, you know, he did not espouse one tiny little iota. He unleashed the economy, and that's what took care of that. But whatever debt limit or deficit spending he did, that was basically to build up the military, which was in, you know, need of it at the time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm going to go ahead. I'm not sure. I think Cool Mike is going to do the show tomorrow night. If not, I will be doing it from a remote location. Tune in tomorrow night, folks, because we're going to talk more about Soros, open society, open borders, revelations, Barack Obama, and how it all ties together. So stay tuned. Do your homework, if you will, so that when I speak, you'll know that I'm not feeding you a bunch of crap. Because when I'm talking facts and sprinkling in a little bit of opinion, not the other way around. Thank you, Richard, for tuning in and calling in. Thank everybody for tuning in and calling in. Gunslinger, glad to have you. Karen, Richard, Slim Jim, Southern Sense, Tesla, The Ozone. I love that. All my guests, thank you for coming in.
Thanks, Todd.
Good night, everybody. I will be on the road. You. David Graham will be hosting the show on Friday, author of the book, Stay Mad. We'll be hosting on Friday. Yeah, One Tin Soldier. Send in the clowns. I think I'll play that later. Is anything Send in the Clowns because you're hosting on Friday? Is that the title of your show on Friday, Send in the Clowns?
No, it's just no.
Oh, I get it. Southern Sense wrote, Reagan would have made a joke about it after being down. Bring down these walls. They sit in the clock.
Yeah, I got it.
All right. Good night, everyone. I'll be on the road tomorrow night. If I can't get Cool Mike to do the show, I will do it from somewhere along my route. Good night, everybody.